You'll find in your bulletin, I trust, a sermon outline. Looking at the text of Scripture around here matters a lot. We typically go phrase by phrase by phrase, word by word, and today won't be an exception. We're going to do an introduction. It's going to be kind of all over the place, but once we settle in the text, you'll want it in front of you. You'll notice the text is given kind of in a phrase by phrase breakdown. Word order has not been changed. Words have not been changed, of course. But the idea is to be able to look at things phrase by phrase as we study God's Word together. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this great privilege to be able to gather today. Thank you that you have designed every person here. Thank you that you have gifted every believer, and that you have a call, a direction, a purpose, an eternal purpose full of meaning and joy and fulfillment in our lives. Guide us to understand your design. Guide us to walk in the fullness of your design. Thank you for your grace, your presence every step of the way. Thank you for the cross. Jesus, thank you for paying the penalty of every bad thing we've ever thought, said, or done on your body on the cross. You were punished in our place. You died in our place. You rose again, showing victory over sin and death. You are the conquering Savior King. And friend, if you've not trusted Christ, I'm pleading with you even right at this moment. Speak these words to him. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on that cross. I trust you as my Savior and my risen Lord. I am yours. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. But I know that I know that I know I'm saved from my sin only because of what you've done for me on the cross. I trust you in every detail of my life. I trust you. And now guide me into understanding your design, your plan more fully for my life and for others around me. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message today is How to Be You. Our theme verse, now we're going to look at this in context in a few minutes, but our theme verse is verse 24. Put on the new self, the new you, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. You'll find that again in your outline. We'll look at the context momentarily. Ephesians 4, 24. Put on the new man, literally in Greek, or the new self. And that new self, this is you, believer, and this can be you, unbeliever, if you will trust Christ today. Put on the new self, which in, I want you to think about these words, in the likeness of God. The new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Think about that. We are looking at who you are, believer, and how to be the real you. That's what we're looking at today. And so that's our theme verse, and that's our design. In Colossians chapter 3, again, I'm going to give you some passages that are not in your outline. This is by way of just kind of getting the wheels turning, little background info, and then we're going to dig into our passage phrase by phrase. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, a very similar passage written at a similar time. Paul is in prison in Rome, as we know. We're reading his letters that he's writing from prison. And in the book of Colossians, written about the same time as this, about the same topic, he says this in verse 10 of chapter 3. We are being renewed in the image of God. Or in the image of the one who created him, which is the image of God. We are being renewed into the image of God. We'll look at Colossians 3 a little bit later. Speaking of that image, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, this is true of every person here, regardless if you're a believer or not. There is an innate, wonderful goodness in you. There's a fallen nature too in all of us. But there's a wonderful innate goodness. When I say wonderful, I'm talking about the image of God. Every person here is created. Nobody here is an accident. Every person here is created in the image of God. God said this in Genesis chapter 1, the book of creation, verse 26. Let us, Trinity speaking, make man in our image according to our likeness. This is God's plan before he made the first man and woman. Let them rule over everything that we make. Verse 27, God then created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Every person here, male and female, you've been created by God in his image. That's why there is, find me the most evil person on the planet, I will show you somebody who has some degree of innate goodness and therefore is accountable to the basic understanding of the Ten Commandments as we have talked about in the past. Innately, because of the image of God inside of every single person. Psalm chapter 8, we're talking about who you are. Now, we're talking about who you are, whether you're a believer or not. Psalm chapter 8, verse 3, we have these words. When I consider the heavens and the work of your fingers, the sun, moon, and stars, which you have ordained, look at the vast expanse of all of creation at night, I ask this question. The psalmist says, under inspiration of God, what is man that you take thought of him? I mean, we're so small compared to the universe. You have a problem with ego, by the way. It's a good practice to go outside at night and just look up into the expanse, you know, where there's not many lights around, go out into the country somewhere. It's really, really good for the ego, okay? Just look at everything. So when I consider all that you've made, what is man that you take thought of him, God? The son of man, that would be not Jesus, this is just the children of man, that thou would care for him. I mean, we're nothing compared to all of creation. Yet, verse 5, you've made him a little lower than God. In some translations, a little lower than the angels. Nonetheless, the next line, you have crowned him with glory and majesty. Whether you're lost or saved, according to God, you are majestic. According to God, you are glorious. Psalm 8. Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, a little commentary is given on that. We have a fall. We have a fallen nature. We're not living up by any degree to the fullness of our created potential. But if you're trusting Christ, one day you will in what's called, what Jesus called, the regeneration. Nonetheless, right now, at this moment, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are glorious, you are majestic. Yes, you have a horrific sin nature, as do I, but you're glorious, you are majestic according to God. Psalm 139, verse 13, God, you made my inward parts. You weave me together in my mother's womb. Nobody here is an accident. God made you. I don't care what your parents or whoever formed you, whoever you came from, I don't care what they said to you. God says you're not an accident. You're formed by him in the womb. I will give thanks to you, God, For I am fearfully and wonderfully or awesomely made. Awesome or wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Don't put yourself down. Be accountable for your sin. Reckon with your sin. At the same time, know that the Bible says you are awesome because you're a creation of God. Nobody's an accident. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, a prophecy given because of the fall. Because we all know that there's an awesomeness inside of every person, inside of each one of us. There's also this fallen nature that is capable of incredible evil inside of every one of us. So we got that thing going on, and we find it very difficult to obey God's laws. And so Ezekiel says this, God gave him these words. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, a prophecy about this age in which we live right now, age of Messiah. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. We're going to read about this today. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Now, flesh here is used for softness toward God, not fallen nature. Oftentimes, flesh is used for fallen nature. Here, it's used for a softness toward God. Heart of stone. That was my heart. Mike, that was my heart when we were in high school together. I didn't give a rip about God. God was a complete, maybe God existed, he was irrelevant. Life was plainly and clearly about me. I didn't care about God. I didn't care about his word, unless I could use it in my favor in some way. Hard-heartedness. Knew how to put on the show to be respectful so I didn't get beat up too bad by the adults in my life. Hard-heartedness. And yet God says, I'm going to take that heart that doesn't want to believe in God, doesn't want to love others, and I'm going to give you a soft heart. That's a miracle of God. We're going to read about that today. I will remove the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That's the new self, the new man we're going to talk about today. On top of that, verse 27, I will put my spirit within you. I'm going to come and live on the inside of you. I'm going to make you new, and then on top of that, I'm going to give you a heart that loves me, and then on top of that, I'm going to come and live inside of you. Believer, you now have a soft heart toward God. Believer, you are indwelt by God and will be forever. Think about that. Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, a deep respect, an awesomeness, for it is God who is at work in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. We live with a deep sense of the awesomeness of who we are as the creation of God and who each other is as the creation of God. And not only that, but the awesome presence of the living God dwelling inside of us. That's who we are, believer. And that's a promise from God in the Old Testament fulfilled now. John chapter 1 and verse 12, the New Testament now. We are the children of God, verse 12. We were born by the power of God, not of blood, not of somebody, not the will of the flesh, not the will of man. We were born of God. That's a miracle of God. Jesus talks about this a little bit more, the guy named Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John. Jesus said to this religious guy who was a believer in God to some degree, but didn't really get all of that was to get by any stretch, a religious guy, and he looks at Nicodemus and he says, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he's not going to see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus got the image of God. You got to be born again or you're not going to heaven. You're not right with God. Nicodemus said, how? And Jesus said, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. A little debated whatever water is, but it's plain in the next verse. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the fallen nature. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. And so if you're here and you're going,
Well, I'm coming to check out Christianity. I don't want any of that born again stuff. Well, I'm not sure what you're looking for. Because if you're not made alive, if you're not birthed by God, if you're not made alive by God, you're not going to heaven. So I'm not sure what you're looking for. But that hard heart toward God and toward God's word, God can take that away and give you an intense love for him and an intense love for his word. And he's promised to do that. Trust Christ. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, I did. Let me finish the John 3 passage. I'm sorry. You must be born again. Verse 8. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it. You don't know where it's coming from, where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, everyone born of the Spirit will be indwelt by the very Spirit of God and guided by him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. The new birth happens first, and then faith happens at the same time. You're trusting Christ. It's a miracle of God. But from my preaching point of view, I'm preaching you trust Christ. You can't cause yourself to be born again. Your job, trust Christ. Don't worry about the timing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Peter says, we have been born again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. God has caused us to be born again. James chapter 1, verse 18. By the exercise of the will of God, we have been birthed by the word of truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. In him, united to Jesus, you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. In other words, God did that. What's that saying? God given to us a soft heart, taken away the hardness and given us a soft heart. It's a work of God. Verse 13, this is Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your fallen nature, God came along and made you alive. Now, the reason I read you a lot of passages, I know you can't flip to all those passages. One, you can listen to the MP3 file or the, you know, YouTube or whatever, and you can jot down the passages. I'm giving you a bunch of passages to say this is not some small, like, just one passage on this. You know, we can we don't need to listen to it. No, the new birth is Christianity. Christianity is Christ. But when Christ comes to indwell a heart, that person is made alive. They are birthed, and from there they grow. And so you can call it the new birth. You can call it the new man. You can call it regeneration. I don't care what you call it, but all those are Bible terms that describe we're walking along in life, bearing the image of God, minding our own business, marrying the image of God, doing some good stuff, every person on the planet, doing some good stuff, some noble stuff, some sacrificial stuff, every person on the planet, and yet hard toward God, and yet hard toward many of the teachings in the Word of God as well. And God comes along and makes us alive, births us, makes us a new man. The fallen nature is still there. Ephesians chapter 2, now getting into the letter that we're looking at. Let's hone into it. Ephesians 2, on the way to our passage, we have these words. Verse 1 and following, we were dead. Followed the world, we followed Satan, we followed the lusts of our flesh. By nature, we were children of wrath, as everybody else is, the wrath of God. Verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, made us alive. We're dead. I was dead. God comes along, makes me alive, gave me the ability to trust Christ. But the message to you is trust Christ. It's God's job to make you alive when he will. All right? So God comes along, makes us alive. Verse 5, even when we were dead, he made us alive, listen now, together with Christ. Don't leave that phrase out. We've been united to Jesus Christ. Believer, Christ is in you. You are in Christ. You're united together with Christ. Christ is life, and when he comes to live on the inside, you are made alive and will be forever. And then from that point, you grow. All right? We are, verse 10, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We could go on to some other passages. That's good enough for now. kind of the framework I want us to take into our passage is this. There's an old you. The old you is made in the image of God, and there's a lot of goodness in the old you. But the old you also is fallen, and there's a lot of evil in the old you. And so the old you, you followed the world, doing what everybody else was doing. Can't be that bad. Everybody else is doing it. Following Satan unwittingly, but Satan was having a heyday in your life and in my life. Followed the old man, the fallen nature, just doing, it's my life, I'm going to do what I want to do. And all of that led last week to a life of futility. Day by day, futility, meaninglessness, purposelessness, from the big perspective, from an eternal perspective, meaninglessness. Nothing really mattered. Nothing really amounted to anything. We live, we raise kids, we teach them how to live a futile life. We all die. I'm not into that. The new you also bears the image of God. That's not lost. But it also bears a fallen nature, just like the old you. There's a fallen nature. And yet, instead of following the world, we follow the Word and the people of the Word. We look to it, and we look to its people as they look to it. And the book of Ephesians is an example of that. And instead of following Satan unwittingly, we listen for the very voice of the indwelling God. We're united to Christ. Christ dwells in us instead of following Satan. And instead of the old man, the flesh, the fallen nature, we follow the new man, the recreated us. And when we do so, we have a life not of futility, but we have a life of fullness and meaning and purpose. And those are the two lifestyles. So, to our passage that you have in front of you, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, now remember, the therefore is the flow of thought. What's happened here so far is we have a call to be the church, together, united, regardless of differences, regardless of ethnicity or any other thing. We are called to be the church united and working together. And so, verse 17, therefore, because this is our call, I say and affirm with the Lord, no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, as the nations walk, as people who don't know God walk, is how Gentiles is used in this context. No longer. This is the way we used to live. This is the old us. Don't live this way any longer. What way is that? In the futility of their mind. The thought life is futile. No eternal value being thought about. No honoring of God being thought about. No inspiring of God's family being thought about. No welfare of the lost being thought about. Just futile. No real direction from heaven's perspective. Futile life. Futile thinking leads to a futile life. Why do we think futile thoughts? Because we're darkened in our understanding. We don't get real life. We don't get the sanctity of God. The wonderfulness of God is a foreign thought to us. And again, look at many of our legislators and others in society. Just a foreign thought. Just no understanding of God. No desire to know Him. Not an understanding of the family and what the family is all about in the household. No understanding of the honor of people. You know, even partial birth abortion becomes, okay, whatever. Just no understanding, just darkness. No understanding of marriage and the horrificness that immorality brings. And I can go on and on and on. We see that in our society. And because the mind is thinking futile thoughts, because the understanding is darkened. Well, why is the understanding darkened? Because we were excluded from the life of God. God wasn't living on the inside. That's what we're talking about today. Why are we excluded from the life of God? Because we're ignorant. We're ignorant of the gospel and of God and his way of salvation. We're in every other truth, really, in the Bible. There's an ignorance on the inside of us. Why are we ignorant? Because of the hardness of our heart. Just harden our heart. We don't give a rip about God. And that's the foundation of a futile life. Hard heart, I don't care, produces ignorance regarding the gospel and every other good thing, produces a lostness, no life of God on the inside, produces a darkened understanding, just can't get the real picture, no matter how many degrees you have. There's just a darkened understanding. And the result is futile thinking, which is a futile life. Welcome to my former life. Result, verse 19, we become callous as we go that direction. Our heart gets harder and harder and harder. And we give ourselves over to sensuality. That's just, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's all about me. If this feels good, I'm going to do it. If it doesn't feel good, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do certain things because the consequences don't feel good. But it's all about me. It's my life. Sensuality. For the practice of every kind of impurity, that's from heaven's perspective. You may not be a pimp or a prostitute, but just not thinking of the purity of the direction of heaven with greediness, just wanting what everybody else has got in regard to impurity and sensuality and feeling good. And so that's the old life. So how do you be the new you? We're looking at the how-to now. We're in the passage. First of all, verse 17, here's how to be you. Verse 17, don't live that way any longer. When your thought life starts going that direction, say no. A lot of discipline today in the passage. I'm just bringing out the passage, okay? So step to number one on how to be you, Christian, don't live that way. And the telltale sign is if a thought is futile from heaven's perspective, there is something better to think about. Everybody got it? Which will produce a better life. So get rid of that nonsense. We covered that last time in a lot more detail. Picking up today, this is where we pick it up. How to be you? Verse 20, you did not learn Christ in this way. What do we need to be doing? We need to be learning Christ. In Christ is fullness instead of futility. We want to know Christ. Life is about learning of Christ. Why? Because he lived the most full life possible. You want to live a full life? Live the life of Christ in your context as a plumber or a CEO or whatever you do. Bring Christ. How would Christ live this life? Think about applying Christ to every detail of life. Learn of him. Walk with him. He is present with you, believer. If indeed, verse 20, you have heard him. Now notice the words very carefully here. Verse 21. If indeed you have heard him, you're not a believer if you haven't heard him. If you're a believer, it's because you heard the voice of Christ calling you to himself. And Christ will continue to guide you. I've never heard an audible voice as I'm speaking to you right now, but we all know those impressions on the inside. When they line up with Scripture, you say, is that my conscience or is that the Spirit of God? Is that the new man? I mean, what is that? If it lines up in Scripture, don't worry about it. It's got to line up with Scripture. I guarantee you, if you're trusting Christ right now, you have heard Christ call your name. It's like Mary at the tomb. And there's nothing like that. And there's nothing like that. If you've heard him and, verse 21, been taught in him. We listen for the voice of Christ, Christian, and we also listen as other good teachers teach us God's word, been taught in him. Back to verse 11 of chapter 4. God's given to us teachers to help us along. We want to hear Christ. We also want to be taught about Christ, taught in him as he's indwelling us, other teachers teaching about him as they teach God's word. Just as the truth is in Christ. The opposite of deception, verse 18 and following, is truth. Two opposite camps. deception, futility, the old way of life, truth and fullness, the new way of life in Jesus Christ. Verse 22, in reference to your former manner of life, what manner of life is that? That's verse 17 through 19, what we just talked about. Okay, this leads to this, leads, starts with a hard heart, leads to this, that whole thing. In reference to that way of thinking and doing, in reference to that, three things. And this is the core of the message today. Number one in this, lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted according to the lusts of deceit. Now, he's writing to believers. Therefore, believer, on the inside of you, there is an old self. It's the same old self that's always been there, except perhaps now he's even a little worse. You don't Christianize the old self. You don't. And so, believer, don't be appalled that in times of hitting your finger with a hammer or any number of other horrific things that blindside you, don't be appalled if you have every vile, horrible thought you've ever had from when you were lost, before you trusted Christ. The old self is still there. Now, what are we called to do about this old self? Well, in reference to that self, lay that self aside. The word self, by the way, is man. Lay aside the old man, anthropos, from which it's anthropology, it could be man or woman. If you're a woman, it's the old woman, the old lady. If you're a man, it's the old man, all right? The word self works. It's the old self, all right? We're just going to use that today. Lay that self aside. What does that mean? Kick him aside. Kick her aside. Not following that way of thinking any longer. That way of thinking has been outlined for you in verse 17 and following. Kick that way of thinking. Once it starts, kick it aside. That old self is being corrupted according to the lusts of deceit. Just kick that old self aside. Another passage on this momentarily, but that's good enough for our understanding for the moment. It's being corrupted, not getting better, according to the lust, that's that fallen nature, just doing what I want to do, of deceit, just lying. We lie to ourselves. This is not that bad. Eventually, it's going to work out. Eventually, I'm going to have meaning and purpose in life. Eventually, just lies. Satan lies to us, but the fallen nature, this old man on the inside, lies to us as well. It's all going to work out. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Everybody does it. You know, all that. Second, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Well, what is this? Well, back to verse 20. Learn of Christ. Listen for his voice. Be taught in him. Be renewed. Obviously, for many of you, Romans chapter 12, verse 2 comes to your mind immediately. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might understand the will of God, right? The renewing of the mind. Don't follow the world. Have your mind renewed in the word and the teachings of Christ. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 says this, though our outer man is decaying. Hello? All right? Got the aches and pains, and they only get worse as we go along in life. Though the outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Kind of implied in that is God can use the aches and pains of the decay that's going on to grow us and renew us even more rapidly. All right, that's another sermon altogether. And so here, be renewed in the mind. Instead of thinking the futile thoughts, verse 17 and following, our mind needs to be renewed to do what? To think on Christ. What do I think about? How do I renew my mind? Think on Christ. Every day, is a day of learning Christ. There's nothing more important to do. Nothing is even a close second to that. Every day is a day of walking with the indwelling Christ and learning of Him. Listen for His voice, but study carefully, phrase by phrase, verse by verse. Study His Word, book by book. The staff is here. It's the number one thing we want to help you learn. Got a bunch of other books, whatever. It's the Bible, verse by verse by verse, phrase by phrase by phrase. Study the life of Christ. Think on Him. Focus on Him. His thoughts are eternal thought. They lead to eternal reward, eternal fulfillment. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then number three, put on the new self. This is how to be you. Lay aside the old self. That's discipline. That's a choice. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's discipline. That's a choice. Take in what is good and right and meditate on it when your body wants to just turn on some stupid song and whatever. And then number three, put on the new self. That's a choice, which, according to God, or in this translation, in the likeness of God, which is good, according to God or in the likeness of God, has been created. Now let's just, again, check this out. Has been created. This is the new you. That new self, that new man has been created. It's already created. It's already, birth is already given to that new person. And man doesn't mean, it has nothing to do with age. It's anthropos, or just mankind. So it's a baby. It's a new person, which has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Righteousness, that's every good thing that there is. Holiness, a little different word than we normally use for holiness, but it's a word for piety or commitment or dedication or fidelity. So we're created in the image of God, the likeness of God. This is who you are. In righteousness, that means every right and good thing you now identify with. You hated the Ten Commandments. I hated the Ten Commandments before Christ. Now I'm in love with God's law, even though some of it is just really hard. Love your enemy? What? Et cetera, et cetera. It's hard, but it's beautiful. Is it not beautiful? What law of God is not a beautiful, freeing law? Because every law comes from the character of God. And there's one thing in life I want to know Christ. And I want to know Christ through His laws, His principles, Old Testament and New Testament alike. He gives us principles, laws, and every one comes from His very soul and teaches us about Him. That's righteousness and holiness. Just a pious, a total, pious has a negative connotation today. Just a complete, here's a word, passion. Passion is a great translation. The passion for righteousness. Even though my flesh hates it and there's a warfare on the inside. Let me give you two more passages. We're going to shut this thing down. Colossians chapter 3. These are just parallel. You got the message. These are parallel passages. Going to kind of just reinforce what we just read. Colossians chapter 3, verse 31. If then you've been... chapter 3, verse 1. I'm sorry. You pick it up with verse 5 in your... I ran out of space. Sorry about that. So I'm going to pick up with verse 1, but you're going to pick up in verse 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If you've been... We try to save trees around here, all right? If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above. And that's what chapter 2 has been talking about. When Christ died, we die with Him. When He was raised, we were raised with Him. We are with Him. And Ephesians chapter 2 says the same thing around verse 7. We are with Him right now because we're united to Him in heaven already in the mind of God. And yet Christ is with us as well right here. So we keep seeking the things above. We set our mind on the things above. You've died. You died with Christ. This is judicially speaking. And you have a new life now. And you will be revealed with Him in glory. One day we will be in His glorious presence in a much deeper way than we are now. All right. So verse 5, here's where you pick it up. All right. So that's the past. We're united to Christ. All that happened to Him happened to us. He's in heaven. We're in heaven with Him in the mind of God. We're going to be in glory one day. So with the past and the future in mind, verse 5, Therefore, that's the word therefore. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead. So consider is a think. This is a new way of thinking. Instead of doing what I want to do, that's the old way, verse 17 and following of chapter 4 of Ephesians. Consider, I have a new way of thinking. I'm thinking of these members as dead to, the use of my body as dead to immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and greed. Greed is idolatry, by the way. It's worshiping and serving created stuff rather than the Creator. Talked about Romans 1 last week. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And we used to live in them. Also put these aside. Anger. Wrath is a righteous anger. We'll talk about next week, but most of it's unrighteous. Wrath, that's anger as well. Malice, the intent to harm other people. Slander, the intent to harm other people. Abusive speech, the intent to harm other people. From your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Now, I could define all those things, but you get them good enough by just reading the list. These have no place in our thinking. This is futile. It's worse than futile thing. It leads to horrible things. Verse 9, though, hone in on this. Don't lie to one. Don't do all those things, including don't lie to one another. Since, listen now, you laid aside, it's the same phrase, the old man or the old self with its practices. It's already a decisive choice on our part. We said goodbye to the old man, to the old woman. When you trust Christ, you make the decision, God puts it in your heart, to say goodbye to the old way of thinking, the old man, wave him goodbye. He's still going to be there screaming for the rest of your life. Say goodbye to him, say hello to the new man who you're going to live with. It's like having a guy you're driving a car, you got a guy in the passenger seat. Make sure that guy is the new man, the old man, kick him at least into the back seat. Okay? Don't be doing what he's asking you to do. That's your flesh. That's your fallen nature. That's your just living the way you want to live. Kick that guy in the back. Put the new man beside you. Listen to him as he grows and matures. Focus on Christ primarily. All right? So all those things are part of the old guy. It's fun to be abusive to other people and to get angry. Oh, isn't it great to be angry? I mean, you're just so powerful when you're angry. No, you're not. You look like an idiot. I didn't call you an idiot because the Bible says don't do that, but you look like an idiot I'm talking to me. I look like an idiot when I get, right? All of those things, futility. Verse 9, I made a choice by the Spirit of God to lay aside the old self to put on the new self. It's done. And listen now, verse 10, that new self is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of God. Right? Created in the image of God to start with. Fallen nature. Now, what is this new self? This new self is created in the very image of God. Listen to that self. And that self is being renewed day by day as you spend time in God's truth. Christian, that is who you are. We don't have none of this business going, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, and I never amount to anything, and I'm just stuck in sin. There's no thinking like that in the Bible. Verse 11. There's no distinction. Something about this new nature draws us not just to God, but to one another. That's in context in all the passages about this type of thing. It's doing life with one another. With God, but with one another. It's always in context. Christ is all. He's in all, verse 11. Therefore, put on, since we've already put on the new self, now put on, verse 12, compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. Put on, verse 14, love. So that's the same as putting on the new man. Put on these parts of the new man. Last passage, Galatians chapter 5, and just to make sure we got this balance now between the old and the new, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, the context is don't be biting and devouring one another. Don't be squabbling with each other. That's the old man that has no place in the church. And we end with verse 26. Don't be boastful, challenging, and envying one another. Again, the new life is about connection with one another and with God, both. Those are the bookends to the passage. But verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you won't carry out the desire of the flesh. How do we do this? We walk in the very presence of God. Verse 17 is the normal Christian life. In the normal Christian life, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. That's the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit sets its desire against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another that you don't do the things that you please. What's that saying? The normal Christian life is a war. Don't kid yourself. You're given power to moment by moment have victory in the war, but the old self is never Christianized, and it will be constantly battling not only against the new self, but here in this passage, against the very indwelling Spirit of God. So Christian, don't throw in the towel because I still have all of these horrible thoughts and all the... Welcome to Christianity. It's a moment by moment, day by day battle, but in the midst of that battle, we have peace and we worship and we know the fullness of God. And so verse 19 and following, just to make sure we can discern the voices, the deeds of the fallen nature are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger. You can read that list. Just in case you didn't know, God's Spirit's not going to guide you into shack it up with somebody. Okay, that's not the Spirit of God. So if you want to discern the voices, read that list, study that list. Verse 22, here is the voice of the Spirit of God. It produces love for even enemies, joy, no matter what, peace, no matter what, patience, no matter who the person is, kindness and goodness, faithfulness to one another, gentleness with one another, self-control. There's no law against it. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. We've made a decisive choice to say bye to the old man. Therefore, let us walk by the guidance of the Spirit. The Christian life, a life of absolute wonder, fullness, a life looking back, knowing total forgiveness for everything we've ever said, done, or thought that doesn't line up with God's Word. The Christian life, looking to the future in the glory that will be ours when Christ comes back again, or the moment we die. And looking at the present, it's a war. It's a battle with the old man, the old nature. But there's a new nature. There's an indwelling Holy Spirit. There's a word. There's a word of God, the Bible. There's a family of God to encourage and guide us. The very presence of God to grow us and renew us day by day. In the fullness of the image of God, original creation. It's been so damaged by the fall. Friend, if you've never spoken these words to the Lord, I want you to join me in prayer right now. As we started, we're going to end. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet. You are God in humanness. You embodied everything we're talking about today. And Lord Jesus, you purposely went to a cross to die speak these words in the first person. You went to a cross to hang on that cross in my place. On that cross, you paid the penalty of every act of rebellion, every act of treason in thought, word, and deed that I've ever committed. You were punished in my place and ever would commit for the rest of my life. You died in my place after bearing the very wrath of God upon my sin on your body. You died. You rose again 3 days later. 40 days later, you ascended into heaven. You are alive today. I'm done with futile thinking. I'm done with futile living. Jesus, you're everything. I trust you as my Savior, my risen Lord, my King, my designer, my redesigner, my eternity. Jesus, I trust you. No turning back. I trust you. I promise at this point to turn from anything and everything that's a part of the old man and the old way of living and thinking. I turn to Christ and I make a firm, solid commitment to say, Jesus, you are King. I trust you. I know it's going to be a battle. I know it's going to be rough. I'm in the battle. I'm yours. I trust you. Thank you for saving me through faith in you alone. And I'll never try to attempt to add to my salvation. Faith in you alone for salvation, forgiveness of sin, a relationship with you for all of eternity. Jesus, I trust you. Father, I pray for every person who is trusting Christ right now that you would grow them, grow us all into the very image of God, the new man. Have your way through us as well in each other's lives and in society. Thank you for great grace today. Thank you for the cross. Amen and amen. This area is open. If you want prayer for anything, if you need a good hug, whatever it may be, we're available to you, men and women. Come on down. There's life groups for all ages following this time. So check out those either right now or during the week. Again, this area is open. God bless you, and God make you a blessing.